Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into the Titans, the NFL draft. I'm sure the Bill Belichick story with him as well. So looking forward to that coming up at 8 o'clock with Charles Robinson. So, Joe, today, one of the things that I think is important to bring up here, now that we've gotten through the draft process and the Titans have, for the most part, their team, we'll see, you know, nibbling around the edges here, some more roster moves that they can make between now and camp, but for the most part, they've got their team. And now the question is, how can Brian Callahan maximize what they've got in Cam Ward? How can he properly develop Cam Ward? Is he the guy to properly develop Cam Ward? What did he learn from the Will Levis experience last year? I think there's a lot that goes into this. And I heard, you know, the guys on DVD talking about this a little bit yesterday in terms of, you know, we talked about this last offseason. You know, there was a lot of, for lack of a better term, pumping up the tires of Will Levis last offseason, right? Like he was all in on Will Levis, and, you know, Will Levis is a big part of why I took this job. And you remember the Albert Breer piece where they went into detail about like some things that he really likes in Will Levis's game and talked about, you know, how good of a quarterback he felt he could be in this league. And we know how it played out. I mean, it was bad from the jump. I think the first couple of games on the field last year, Callahan was in shock with some of the things that Levis was doing out there that he just did not anticipate based on what he saw from him in the meeting rooms and on the practice field and whatnot. So now the question becomes, all right, what did you learn from that? And what's going to be different with Cam Ward? Now, we know Cam Ward, Will Levis, two different players, two different types of players. And you drafted Cam Ward number one overall. So that is different than getting somebody in the second round and you joining a job where he was already in place. Like, this is what the job now is for Brian Callahan, Cam Ward and his development. So as we sit here today, Joe, and you look at the job in front of Callahan here with Cam Ward coming in, what's your thought on kind of where he stands right now and what this last year has been like for him in terms of what he's learned to try to apply this now with Cam Ward coming in here to be the guy that's around for longer than this year to develop him?
Yeah, it's an interesting question on what he's learned and how he might apply it. First of all, there are Titans fans, and I'm sure who will respond to this conversation, who are like, he's obviously not a quarterback developer. Why is he still here? Clearly, he has no clue. I understand how you hear all this stuff, like you just mentioned about Levis last year, his excitement. Like, how could he misjudge it that badly? And then you see the product and how they've just completely given up. They draft a quarterback number one because they're the worst team in the league, et cetera, and be like, man, how could you have confidence in this guy? I think if you are a Titans fan and you're hopeful, basically, I think you need this to be a situation where Levis simply demonstrated all the traits in the film room, in the building, on the practice field, and then just is the opposite of a gamer, right? And again, I'm not saying that takes responsibility off Callahan's plate, but that does happen sometimes. And that's what you have to hope is that, look, it's just a case of, you know, some people can prepare and do all the things and they just can't perform. Some people suck in practice and they're great in games. You know, it's like you'd rather have that, but that's what you have to hope. So what did he learn? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the thing is you also have to hope if you're a Titans fan, if you're the Titans, that he learned a lot about being the CEO and how you balance all those things.
Yeah.
Obviously, neither aspect worked out at all for him. You know, now you could say the quarterback being bad maybe is bigger reason as any that the quarterbacking being bad, because obviously the backup was bad too. Being the main factor in being 3-14, but there was a lot of issues with this team. So, I mean, it's a huge prove it year for him. And yet, as we've talked about, is he on such thin ice that Cam Ward is immediately going to have a new mentor here, or quickly going to have a new mentor here?
Well, I think some of that's going to depend on how much not even from a win-loss standpoint, although that's part of it, but how much has he improved from last year to this year as a coach? You know, I've said it, and I didn't think that even as bad as their roster was last year, and it was bad, that I didn't think that there were enough answers that he and that staff found along the way. And look, maybe at the end of the day, it was just as simple as, well, you can't find answers that don't exist. I mean, maybe that's what it was. But I do think there was, they just looked overmatched throughout the whole year. And that's in every aspect. I mean, they just looked like they were just overwhelmed the whole year. And, you know, he talked at the end of the season about how managing that part, being a CEO, being the head coach of a football team, and not just being basically, you know, a glorified offensive coordinator out there, is something that he's got to be better at, like he's got to improve on this year. I think if I'm a Titans fan, one thing that, and I think you'll have differing perspectives on this, how is it that you were so confident in Levis and so confident in his abilities to the point where, like, he was effusive in his praise for Levis before the season started? How were you that, and then it played out the way that it played out? Now, if you're an optimist on the Callahan front, you could say, well, look, sometimes it's exactly what you said. People do exactly what you want them to do in the meeting room. The practice field, they can take it to the practice field. And Levis, just when the lights got bright, he got too tense or he put too much pressure on himself and he just fell apart. And maybe you can't know that until you see it in game action. But I think if you're a pessimist, you would say, well, this is the same guy who thought that Will Levis was going to be some really good quarterback and spent all offseason long talking about how he was a big part of why he took the job. And then it was a total flop once he got out there. So who do you blame for that? Like, how much blame? Certainly most of it goes on Levis, but how much do you blame Callahan? And I think there are a lot of Titans fans that feel that way heading into this
year. And again, that's fair. Like, yeah, it's – so look at the whole track record. I think it's fair to say for sure he's been around great quarterbacks. It's hard for me to believe that he doesn't have any hand at all in Joe Burrow and his success, but – also, Joe Burrow's great, and I think Joe Burrow has success. I don't think Joe Burrow is system-proof like some people think, but I think he has success with a lot of different situations. But you definitely would have to acknowledge that Brian Callahan has seen greatness, knows what it is, knows what it looks like, knows what it does. And again, I think that Levis, and people are always asking him to compare and all that stuff, but I think he saw some of the preparation stuff with Levis, which is huge.
Yeah.
He's already been effusive to me, like on draft night, in praising Cam Ward.
I agree.
Which is fine, but I don't think the expectations are going to be – and I don't think it's because he's like a carnival barker out here, you know, like who are coaches famous for doing that, for overstating things? I mean, some come to mind, but I just can't think of anybody specific. But, you know, some coaches do that. I don't think that's it.
The new Jags GM thinks Travis Hunter is going to bend time and space out there. So there's that.
A new human race thanks to Travis. But, you know, I think that he's being honest with how he feels. But then obviously, like, the bar is pretty high here for, like, this year to see some good stuff from Cam Ward.
So we'll take your thoughts on the Brian Callahan front. What do you make of where he sits heading into this year? And is he the guy that is going to properly develop and maximize what the Titans think they have in Cam Ward? More of your thoughts on that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds have a doubleheader against Gwinnett. Pregame beginning at 3:45, first pitch at 4 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura at Hermitage Golf Course, also coming up on Thursday, May 29th. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on Brian Callahan and Cam Ward. And is he the right guy to develop Cam Ward? Can Brian Callahan maximize what the Titans think they have in Cam Ward? You know, the quarterbacks that he's been around is an interesting part of this, Joe, because that was a huge selling point when he first got the job. Look at this guy and look at how many quarterbacks he's worked with. Now, with the Titans doing the amount of losing that they did last year, Joe, that very quickly with Titans fans turned into, well, that's great. He was around all those guys. How many of those guys was he actually responsible for? You know, we had a lot of different conversations about that throughout the season. I don't think it's a bad thing to be around and to work with that many different high-level quarterbacks that he's worked with. Now, I also think that there's a difference between working with some of those quarterbacks, whether it's a Peyton Manning or a Derek Carr or whoever, and even Joe Burrow, like Joe Burrow coming up into the league. I think there's a difference between working with those guys as an offensive coordinator or as a quarterback coach and as a head coach. Like, you're in charge of so many things as a head coach, and yet one of the big reasons why you're here is your ability to work with and develop quarterbacks. So kind of threading that needle, how equipped is he going to be to do that this year? That's going to be really interesting to see how that process plays out for him. You know, again, looking at their roster right now, I think wins are going to be hard to come by. Like, they're probably not going to end up with 7 or 8 wins this year just based on paper what they have right now. So as you're navigating through all of that and you're trying to develop a quarterback, that's a really challenging set of circumstances that I think he's got ahead of him this year.
Yeah, without question. Now, Steve Lehman, we talked about this yesterday with Kaharski. You know, Steve Lehman talking about all the coaches who had been fired, the situations with the number one pick, and then they move on to the different coach. You know, in Chicago's case, for example, they had a defensive coach, and then they've moved on to the offensive, genius quarterback developer coach. How many of those coaches – I mean, I think about Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Urban Meyer built his career on basically his offense, like his spread offense stuff that he had going back to like Bowling Green and everything. But Urban Meyer wasn't known as a quarterback, but that wasn't like his trade wasn't developing quarterbacks. How many of these early failures – or, you know, early in the tenure of the quarterback failures have been coaches who actually are supposed to be quarterback. I don't have the answer. That's probably something worth looking up at some point. Yeah. But, you know, look, there's a lot more to his job, but this is the main thing about his job. And, you know, it's like, again, you get the wide range. You get this texture saying, I love how we forget how Beta Bryan cried after a win against the lowly Patriots. I mean, that's fine, but if Cam Ward's good this year and they're even just a little bit better than expected, I mean, that's what you're looking for, you know? I mean, you got to get – first of all, like, you got to get used to, like, this is – he's more like how coaches are now. Yeah. He's a little bit more – and again, you can have a problem with that. By the way, if Vrabel's an alpha, I mean, I need a little bit more than golf clapping at a Celtics playoff game.
Yay.
Paint your face, Vrabel.
Yeah, seriously, paint your chest. Let's go, man. But yeah, it's all about this, you know. It's all about this, and you know, some on the YouTube chat's like, you know, he was just in a situation to try to get the job talking about Levis. No, man, like, he was talking about Levis right before
in the training
he,
camp.
He wasn't lying. He wasn't BSing. I really don't believe that at all. He went on busting with the boys, and he was very detailed about what he said. I mean, this can happen. It can happen that you have talent and do everything right, and then it just in the games you're not wired to like handle the situations well. You're not wired to be able to slow it down and be poised. Some people are, and like, we don't know. Thing is, he doesn't know if Cam Ward is either. They love Cam Ward and they love their interviews and they see plenty of good film. You also see bad film. This is true with Levis too. Yeah. You don't know in this league what it's going to look like when it really comes down to it and he's got pass rushes bearing down on him and he's trying to see a coverage disguise right after the snap.
Yeah. Well, and I guess the question associated with that is how much of the poor quarterback play we saw last year was as simple as Levis just is, as you said, not wired to handle it on game day? And how much of it was the coach not putting his quarterback, his offense in the right situation?
Fair question.
I don't know. Like, I mean, some of it's as simple as personnel, right? Like, when your offensive line can't block, you're probably going to be in some serious trouble if you're a quarterback at that point. So, how much better have they gotten this year? We're going to find out. You know, I think we all know that they do not have the greatest skill position group in the world heading into this year. So how can you maximize what they are if you're Brian Callen? So some of it's as simple as your personnel, but I do think it's a fair thing to wonder. Like, it was also his first time calling plays, and I think we probably glossed over that too much last year around here, given everything else that was going on. Like, is he a good play caller? Like, is he a good offensive game planner when it comes to this is his baby. Getting out there and planning, you're in charge of the game plan for the offense. It ultimately comes back to you. You know, personnel is a huge part of it, obviously, but is he a good offensive game planner? Because that's what you want him to be when you're hiring him as your head coach. That's part of it. Now, I don't know what the answer to that is.
No, it's totally fair. Did he give him the answers? Did he adjust things enough around him? Some things, like, you can't block. Man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the quarterback not to get happy feet, and it's going to be tough for anything to work. And that was a limitation. But also, you know, they brought in his dad to be the offensive line coach. Didn't work out well. His high school buddy, who, again, is an NFL coach, so it's not like he just pulled his high school buddy out of, like, working the Burger King drive-thru to be his OC. But he is his high school buddy who's his OC, and he's a huge part of it, too. If he wasn't a huge part of it, Brian Callahan wouldn't have had a chance to get this job. He was a non-play calling OC in Cincinnati. But again, it's like, you know, sneakerhead on the YouTube. I would lie for a chance to make millions too. You guys act like Brian Callahan only had this as a possible job. He actually was – plenty of teams were interested in Brian Callahan over multiple years.
Well, and again, he had already been hired when he started talking about most of this stuff. Like, yeah. I'm sure he was – you know, he was complimentary of Will Levis in the interview process, and that was a big part of the job at that time. But a lot of what he said that we're referring to was well after he took the job.
And also, again, if you are talking about someone who has, I mean, he was one of the hot names, and he had multiple. I know, like, he was supposed to go to Carolina, and then he canceled the interview.
The Titans didn't let him get out of the building.
Yeah, so don't you think he actually thought some of these things about Levis? I think he probably did. Man, I think that guy sucks, but you know what? I'm going to lie and confine myself to this job with a quarterback I think sucks. And then I'm going to talk about how awesome he is.
Then
act shocked when he sucks.
If he didn't believe that he was good, why would you take that job if you're him?
Right.
Like, you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Right. So, again, like, Sneaker, you're talking about this like this was his only shot in the dark to ever get a head coaching job. That's not true. I mean, you got to be selective. And some of these guys are. Lions coach, Bears coach Ben Johnson had chances a year before, and when he didn't like it, he probably wouldn't mind coaching Jaden Daniels now, but he backed off and then he waited. Okay, I'll take Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
People are selective in these situations when they're the hot, especially the hot OC guy in this league. That's what everybody wants.
Well, and clearly, as they've gone through this evaluation process with Ward, they have walked away with things that they obviously love about him, that they think are going to translate really well to the NFL level, and that he's going to be a star quarterback in this league. Like, what can Brian Callahan formulate a plan and a system around Cam Ward that maximizes what he is? Like, that's – to me, that's one of the most important questions of this franchise right now is, like, where they're going from here. Do they have the right guy to do that right now? Because, look, I'm totally with everybody that says – it would be really bad for Cam Ward to go through his rookie year and learn this system and get in work with all those things, and then you just pull it out from under him after 1 year and you go hire somebody else. Having said that, you know what would probably be worse for Cam Ward is if Brian Callahan's not the right guy and is not the guy that's going to maximize him, and you hold on to him just for the sake of holding on to him. Like, it's a really tough needle to thread where they're at with him right now.
Yeah. And do the Titans have the decision makers to be able to, you know, adequately determine that? I mean, it may be obvious. It may be obvious to everybody, but maybe it won't be.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Brian Callahan, Cam Ward front to get to coming up next. Charles Robinson will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. This week's Nashville's Best Deal, Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. For a limited time, grab half off a $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com. /deals. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Any critiques of Cam, it usually centered around the risk-taking or, you know, maybe playing the hero ball from time to time. Did you see any evidence of that, or what was your kind of take on those potential
critiques? Yeah, I think anytime you have quarterbacks that have talent, that have the ability to make those types of plays, they tend to try to make them. And they're confident in their ability to do it. And most of the time, and the guys that I've been around that put those types of plays out there, is they're going to make a whole lot more of them than they miss. And that's the mentality you want to have. And I think that he's got that mentality. He's got the talent to do it. There's definitely things where if you asked him, you know, there's a couple of throws you're like, that probably wasn't the best idea. And he'd go, yeah, you're probably right. And that's okay. That's part of maturing and growing in the game. And you learn how to play quarterback at the NFL level, which is there is a balance to that. There's a time to be efficient, a time to take completions, a time to throw the ball away. And there's also a time to let your talent take over and then, you know, all the things that God gave you, allow it to put it on display. And I think that he understands that, which is the part that I think is the most encouraging for me, is that all the things that he did, any throws that he made that you would argue were hero ball throws, he had a very good reason for why he did it, and also was aware that, you know, if it was one that was in the bad spot and he shouldn't have made that particular throw, he was aware that I probably shouldn't have done that there. And I think that's half the battle with those things.
That's Brian Callahan on Cam Ward. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and Cam Ward. Rex Rhodes already shaking his head coming back from break there.
That was a good, as always, Brian Callahan's very good at press conferences. I'm not shaking my head at him. Here's Jason Goodlitzville. Come on, Robbie. If you had a press conference and asked your thoughts on Stillman, you'd take the high road and not share truly how bad he is. He's an optimistic head coach and probably knew Levis had confidence issues, so he wanted Levis to hear confidence from his coach. You can't possibly have paid attention then last year, JC. You can't. You can't have paid attention. He genuinely thought Levis was good. I mean, like, there's – it wasn't like, sure, feeling pretty good. No, he was effusive in praise for all the things he did well. I mean, like, that's – he genuinely thought that. I don't know why this is hard to believe.
It's hard to believe because we saw it the way it played out on the field, and there's such a gigantic discrepancy there. That's why. But again, I think sometimes you just got to think about logically what's happening here. Like, again, Brian Callahan, it doesn't really serve anybody well to totally blow smoke. Now, I also think there's a difference. Like, there's a difference between hyping up your quarterback and giving answers in a media setting that project confidence in him, and then going out of your way to praise him. Like, there's a difference in those two things. And that's what Brian Callahan did last year. He went out of his way throughout a multi-month process, by the way, went out of his way to praise Will Levis from everything that he, you know, from being around him in the meeting room to the film room, to the practice field, to the physical tools that he brought to the table. Like, that wasn't just, I got to build my quarterback up here. Like, he legitimately thought he was a really good player.
And I think sometimes it's hard. We all do this. I do this. We now have seen the season. We've lived through it. We think what we think about Will Levis as a quarterback now. But put yourself back then, because I thought he had a chance to be really good. Like Daniel says here on the YouTube chat, we all thought Levis had big-time potential last season, especially after the Miami comeback game. There were moments in that rookie year when he gets thrown in where you're like, oh, okay. You can see it. I mean, look, I still contend the entirety of his rookie season, they weren't all good games, but I didn't see stuff that we saw early last year. Now, then you get to, so why did it get worse when Callahan comes in? That's a fair question. But, yeah, Brian Callahan genuinely thought he had something in Will Levis. And he wasn't – and right now in revising history, my God, how could he have thought that? He was not alone at all. Well, let's all be honest with ourselves.
I mean, Amy thought for sure they had something. We got Rand. We got a good young quarterback. Yeah, you do.
That is true.
I mean, I guess Levis is still there, so I guess you still got him.
He is still a part of the Tennessee Titans, by the way.
Which, again, we got people asking about, you know, which I know PK downplays. I think I'm against PK on this one. When we got people in the text line asking right now, like, what happens if Will Levis outplays Cam Ward in training camp? It's like,
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And again, PK and whoever can dismiss. Fans say, but okay. I mean, it's kind of like we were talking about with the Preds earlier. I mean, if you don't think that, like, the narratives and the discussion and all these things matter at all, I think you kind of have your head in the sand a little bit. So if people on the outside are saying it, then again, what happens when Cam Ward has a couple terrible games, they lose, the locker room, these guys who are busting their butt and getting their heads smashed in every week are sick of losing, and they're like, you know what, we could have won if number 8 was out there. Then what happens then? You remove number 8, you remove the discussion, and you know you're just going to take your lumps with the rookie.
Well, because the bottom line is, like, frankly, if I'm in charge, and this is probably why I'm not in charge, I don't really care what Will Levis does in training camp. Like, you've drafted Cam Ward, and he's your quarterback. So, I mean, Will Levis could go out there and play amazing in training camp, and I'd be like, I don't care. Cam Ward is our quarterback. Like, that would be the way I would handle it. I know it's not as simple as that in professional sports.
Yeah, but also the reps that he's going to be playing amazing in are going to be with the 2s and the 3s.
Yeah.
So, now granted, he's going to get – if he's on this team, he'll get a ton of preseason game work.
Sure.
Right? I mean, which is
get excited.
Which, by the way, would not. I mean, I think absolutely could be. Hey, rest of league.
Yeah.
See, look, would you like this guy? We'll take a 6.
Yeah, I mean, look, they said the other day that they didn't try to move him at the draft, and to which my original response to that was like, all right, well, is that true, or was like there no interest? Like, did nobody ever contact you about? Hey, yeah, we'll take Will Levis. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah, it's like, no, I haven't talked to anybody about that job.
Yeah, exactly.
My agent did, but I'm not lying.
Exactly. I did enjoy Callahan's little spiel he went on there coming back from break, though, about how, you know, there's a time for this, a time for that. I was like, we in Ecclesiastes over here? There's a time for everything under the sun?
Ooh.
Good gracious. What's going on over, Brian? Look, this is going to be, I mean, this is going to be a continuing conversation heading into camp, because I truly believe this is – one of the most important questions in the franchise right now. Do they have the right person to develop Cam Ward? And, like, if they do, that's great. And if Will Levis, if it's just as simple as Will Levis could not put it all together when game time rolled around and Brian Callahan actually does have a great system in place and he actually does know what he's doing offensively and he does learn a lot from year one to year two being the CEO of a football program – that's great. Like, that's best case scenario. You want Brian Callahan here to work out. What's going to be tricky is with this roster that still has a lot of shortcomings and a rookie quarterback coming in, that's a really difficult thing to do in the NFL, even though Jaden Daniels and CJ Stroud have made it look easy the last 2 years. It's not easy. Like, when there are struggles that will inevitably come at some point this year, probably early, like, how do you stick with it? And how does Brian Callahan pull his team along with him, and more importantly, his quarterback along with him when that happens.
And all those things you said may not be true. One thing that definitely is true as part of the equation, the offensive support system around him was buns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes it harder to evaluate, and it makes it way easier to look bad.
Yep. And how much better is that this year? I don't know. I think the offensive line's better. We're going to find out.
Somewhat.
We're going to find out how much better it is. I still got a lot of questions about the skill position and who's catching the ball and who's making plays for the quarterback. So that's all part of it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans and the NFL with him. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Joe could have said, yes, after the draft, I realized Jared was right and Shadur was a TV prospect.
This is Amy's poodle groomer.
I think it belongs in the Take Hall of Fame.
You were wrong about Shadur, and I made a roast.
She goes fox hunting, and you stand guard for assassin.
That right there is a titan.
I've been thinking about this, Mr. Hand. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? Certainly, there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
So what am I supposed to correct myself on? Am I supposed to say, you know what? Shadour actually was a really, really good prospect.
TV prospect. TV prospect. Would like a world
of change. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. Another masterpiece by Ian Safar there. Joseph, the floor is yours.
I really liked it, especially the Spicoli. Until you bring in Creed, you're not going to play Metallica for me? My rant is about Metallica. It's a joyful rant.
Oh, a joyful rant. Okay,
it's a joyful.
Well, I didn't know that.
I know. I could have told you. But now you've made me
Why would we play something that you like for the rant?
Because this is a joyful rant. Okay? Now, let me tell you a story. June 24th, 1994. So, first of all, great website. It's like setlist.fm. You can find setlist.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. And I did. Yeah, I've used it before to like when I'm about to go to a show to see what a band is playing, but I didn't realize it went back. The Ionia Free Fair in Ionia, Michigan. Okay.
Yes.
You've talked about the Wilson County Fair. This is basically the Wilson County Fair of Michigan.
All right.
Actually, Charles coming on next. He I know he knows about the Ionia County Fairgrounds, the Ionia Free Fair. I don't know why the hell this happened, but Metallica in 1994 played the Ionia Free Fair, and a whole bunch of us drove over from East Lansing to go see Metallica. They weren't supporting an album. They were just jamming. And I got separated from all my friends. I think there were like 10 of us. I got separated early because it was a big field of people beating the crap out of each other. And I just spent 2 hours in pure joy in mosh pits getting hit from behind. There was like this high school girl who absolutely probably almost broke one of my ribs. I mean, she blasted me. And it was a magical night, as you might imagine.
I don't know that I would have handled that situation very well.
Well, you just got to get in the mosh pit. I mean, I gave a shot back, and then everybody jumped. You know, that was back. People moshed a lot then, and I don't know if Metallica is necessarily like a that was more like a Rage Against the Machine type thing. But Metallica, everybody moshed in the night, so we were moshing for Metallica. But that show was amazing. They played Harvester of Sorrow. They played Disposable Heroes, which is a little bit of a deep cut. I mean, they started with Bread Fan. It was amazing. So tonight, going to Metallica, I'm taking my kid. I'm going to expose him to a band that, like, I haven't liked any of their music since 1991. But I'm going to give you my top 10 songs. I know that you really wanted to hear this.
I'm very much interested. Yes.
That you really wanted to hear my top 10 songs that I hope we hear tonight. First of all, Harvester of Sorrow. I think that's the best Metallica song.
Fourth on the list.
No, oh, look at that. See, Ian's ready. I mean, this song right here, like the build up, and then like, I mean,
our sister station is 102.9 The Buzz. Are loaded with the Metallica.
Yeah, we
right
got all kinds
here.
Of
yeah,
Metallica.
No problem with that.
Yeah. So this is my number one song that I want to hear, and I think I have a good chance of it. Then I'm gonna go Am I Evil? Probably less of a chance. Disposable Heroes. Yeah. Orion. Again, I'm big on Master of Puppets. Battery. Leper Messiah, Damage Incorporated, that's all Master of Puppets. And I'm probably not going to hear. If I get one of those, I'll be excited. I'll take Four Horsemen, I'll take Creeping Death, and then Bread Fan. Those are my top 10.
Know For Whom the Bell Tolls?
Yeah, I like that song. That's fine. I mean, yeah, like anything that's and I didn't put anything on the Black Album on here. I mean, you know, if we get Enter Sandman as the encore, that's fine.
That's probably what you're going to get.
That's fine. You know, I love some Enter Sandman. I went with my brother to Virginia Tech game. We love that. They're going to play Lane Stadium, by the way. This is a little Bread Fan right here, which is absolute jam. I'm just basically sitting here bloviating about Metallica. I do, you know, it's like Kaharski.
Kaharski would not like this rant.
All right, but he doesn't. He's like, all you do is you scream. Like, that's not true. They're a great rock band. Now, did they have a prime like most
Daddy,
bands?
I now say you suck. Everyone sucks. Google Gaga. Suck.
It's not like The Boss. When The Boss plays, a Santa Claus coming to town. That is so wonderful.
You know.
Clarence hits those notes.
I did not mean to turn this into a Kaharski roast. But like every band, everybody has a prime when you make great music, and then a lot of bands continue to make music. You know what? They're going to play some of their new stuff. It's fine. I'll keep an open mind. But let's keep it to the good stuff for the most part. And let me show my teenage son what good music is.
I like Metallica. You know what I don't like? Bruce Springsteen's awful.
No, he's not.
Terrible.
Oh, no, he's not terrible. But
he's not quite Beatles bad, but he's terrible.
Okay. We don't need to. This is You're a wonderful.
You're 100% incorrect.
This is a joyful rant about a band that's good. We don't need your bad Beatles and takes. I didn't realize that you totally hate Bruce. You totally hate
He's horrendous. He's horrendous. It's really bad.
Oh, God. Well, I don't know.
None of these people have
experience
anything.
With hand motions.
None of these people have anything on Blink 182.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And by the way, Pantera is opening tonight, which I'm excited to see them for the first time in my life. Now, that's a mosh up band. I'm a little afraid of some of the people who will be at the Pantera concert if they're just there for Pantera. But that should be pretty good.
Exclusively Pantera. Yeah. That's all I mean.
That happens, though. That does happen. Like, we went to the Chili Peppers, and there were some people there that were totally there just for the Strokes. I love them both. And then it was just like, yeah, Chili Peppers, whatever, you know.
Did they leave? The opening band.
I mean, they might have, actually. They certainly were just like, they're like, oh, going nuts about the Strokes. And then it was like, nah. Yeah. You know, when the Red Hot Chili Peppers came. It happens.
615-737-1025.
What a great rant.
Our phone number, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, will be with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans, the NFL draft, all things NFL with them. I'm sure the Bill Belichick situation will come up as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.